Extra copies.
Okay, pass it out. Okay. All right. Firstly, I want to wish a mazel tov to Shloimi. One at a time. Then I want to wish a mazel tov to Evan.
Rebbe, can we Rika tomorrow?
Okay. All right. Tomorrow, B'Hashem, there is Yom Ha'atzmaut. So there's a program, a speaker. Gilad, his father's going to be speaking, Zach told me. So that starts at 1. So we'll have Shir Bezishim from a quarter to 12. Speech is not, well, with the program, it starts at 1. Okay. So we'll have Shir Bezishim a quarter to 12 to 1. Okay? All right. Please keep chazering inside. And you don't have to keep up at this, the same point where you are inside and outside. But just make sure you're chazering both every night. Okay? Bez Hashem, to the best of your ability, and you keep trying. Okay, everyone's doing a good job, Leonardo. Okay, let's go. We start with, let's go. Shir number 2, number 1. What's the mahalach we said in the Tosfos about kolapoter medaver v'oseo nikra hedjik? There is a halacha that we know that on tefillin you're not supposed to do sirtu. Tosfos said the top line maybe you need. And then Tosis at the end of the Tos said, if you have a sloppy sofer, he needs to do it in every line. Okay, but in theory, you should not do it. And you shouldn't be machmer to do it. And Tosis quotes a famous Yushalmi, where Tosis, the Yushalmi, writes, in Perek B'Mem Alikin, Kol ha-potter bedover, anyone who's exempt from something and does it, is called a hedjo. Hedjo meaning a commoner, meaning it's a critique. And we said the following mahalach. What does that mean? The whole concept of the chumras goes out the window. You should never be machmer. We all know there's an element of chumra. Selas Yesharim writes, Va'asu mishmeret lish mishmarti, that we know the chachamim makes siagos for us. There's a din of yichud, there's a din of muksa. Selas Yesharim writes, we have to make personal siagim for ourselves. Everyone knows that they might be mikshul in certain areas. Then the Selas Yesharim writes, create personal siyagim for yourself. So there is definitely a validity and a legitimacy for the notion of chumras. How does that square with this comment of Yushalmi that Tosos quoted on Bavamit Beis, that kol ha-pater b'davar oseh davar is called a hedjit? So we said the following. The Magen of Rome was the one who asked this kashin, Simen Lamed Beis, Sifkat and Ches, and Chos Tefillin. And we said as follows. The Meiri in Baba Kama writes, on Pesayin Amav, Moshe, you saw it inside, you brought it to me in Seder, that you're only called a hedyot if something bad could come out of it, meaning an Aveira. Okay? Meaning if something bad could come out of it, an Aveira, then it's Usser. Lamaisa, we also said, there has to be something that has a Toelus Ruchani. Something spiritually good has to come out of it. It's for no reason at all, then you're called a hedjit. So there are two things. Number one, if an isser comes out of it. And number two is, if there is no toelis ruchnius. And we said the Ramah writes in Hilchos Sukkah, in Simen Tov Reish Lamed Tesiv Zayin, that if rain is falling on sukkahs, you're potter from sitting in the sukkah. And anyone who sits in the sukkah while it's raining is called a hedjit. And the Bir Halacha quotes B'Shem, the oldest Shmuel, why are you called an hedjit? Because you're over an Isser. You're not supposed to be mitzdarer yourself on Yontif. There's kibud and on a Yontif. Sitting there with the rain falling on your head is being mitzdarer yourself. But if you're not being mitzdarer yourself, you could be machmir. We said that was a little bit difficult because our Tosa seems to imply you're called a hedjot despite the fact there's no Isser. So let's get that. Our Tosa said you should not put sirtut in tefillin. If you do, there's no isser. And despite that, you're called a hedjit. So it seems one approach is you're only called a hedjit when you're doing an isser from that Ramah in Hilchos Sukkah. Our Tosa seems to imply that you're called a hedjit even though there's no isser, but as long as you're not getting anything out of it ruchnius-wise, you'll still be called a hedjit. And the truth is, the Torah writes, if you want to do sirtut on tefillin, it's fine. The Beis Yosef says, what do you mean it's fine? You're called a hedjit. So he said, the Torah said, you're only called a hedjit L'maisa, when you get nothing out of it. When there's an isser that's going to be caused from it. Here there's no isser, you need to write it properly with it. So that's a very important concept. We said the Beis Yosef was masber to Yushalmi is, you're only called a hedjit, l'maisa, shenikra hedjit ala shosu b'der chumrum. Of akan, she'ena yachol lova, the isser, you're not going to be called a what? You're doing it to write properly, so that's not considered to be a problem. So I want you to get these two approaches. One approach is only when there's an isser, it's going to come out. That's the Ramah. Our Tosa seems to say, Lamaisa, that you're called a hedjit, despite the fact there's no isser, but you're not getting anything out of it spiritually. If you're not getting anything out of it spiritually, that also will become what? That also will be called a hedjit. And we said that this is a Yushalmi. Yushalmi writes, the Madana Yontif says, what's the marker Yushalmi? You're not allowed to eat a meal or sit in the barber shop, so you have a haircut right before mincha. And if you started your meal, let's say, you don't have to stop. And the Yushalmi has a case that there were Amoraim eating, and Zman Tefillah came, and Shmuel stopped eating. And they asked him, why'd you stop eating? We know you're allowed to if you started before and you can continue eating. And we know that if you do that, you're potter, you're called a hedjit. You're being machmer. So what kind of isser was there by him stopping to eat? So we said the isser was maybe they wouldn't have done a zimun, or maybe they wouldn't have benched. Whenever there's a tzad isser, then you're called a hedjit. And that's difficult. We said Yusham is difficult on the Miri. The Miri said no. Because if you're mafsik, mishum, kavat filo, you do get something out of it spiritually. So why are you called a hedjit? So these are the two approaches to the topic that I want you to get. Either is it because an isser is going to come out of it like the Ramah, or is it because you're getting nothing out of it spiritually? So we have the Ramah and Sukkah, we have our Tosfos that seems to imply you're not getting anything out of it spiritually, you're still called a hedjit even though there's no isser, and we said it has to do with that marker about stopping to eat in the window of time of Mincha. You stopped to eat in the window of time of Mincha, they said, why'd you stop? You started before. It's mutter to continue. You're called a hedjit. The answer is that what? Why are you called a hedjit? Because there's a big issue that might happen by you stopping. They might not bench. They might not do a zimun. But that's bad. Maybe you want. Why is that called a hedjit? You stop because you wanted to daven. You're getting something out of it spiritually. So these are the two approaches as to why you'd be called a hedjit. So there's no problem in having chumras. As long as the chumrah is done because there might be an isser that might happen if you don't do the chumrah, or number two, you're getting something out of spiritual. The stam is going to be a machmir, isn't a chanami improper. Okay, that's one. Two. What was the mahalach we said, b'shem what? B'shem Rav Agon Rav Shechter Shlita on Megillas Esther, that it's called a Sefer HaBris. We said that Megillas Esther is like a Sefer Torah. In what sense? So we asked three kashas. Let's get it. Number one, the Rambam writes in Pirik Zayin Halacha Tet Vav Nechol Sefer Torah. There is a machlokes Rav Meir and a Chumah of Basra. Are you allowed to take a Sefer Torah and mabik it to a Nach? Are you allowed to mabik a Sefer Torah to a Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The Rambam writes you're allowed to, but if you do it, it's Yeter Kenotel Dami. It's like a chumash. It's not called a Sefer Torah. And what do we say a chumash means? Not a stone chumash, but it means only a Sefer Torah of Breishis, of Shmos, of Vayikra, of Bamidbar Advar. So the Rambam writes, if you take a Sefer Torah and mavik nach to it, it downgrades it to be like a chumash. And he imports a biological halacha by Treifus of yes, sir, kenotel tomi. Where on earth did the Rambam get this? That was the first kasha we asked. Number one. Number two kash is, the Gemara writes in Megillah that if you take a Megillah's Esther and glue it, or madbik it, or have it one cloth with the other four Megillahs, the Gemara says a Megillah aksuba ben aksuba is lo yotza. And the Gemara says that if you read it b'tzibor, you're not yotza. That's what the Gemara writes in Megillah on New Testament base. So the Shagasari, the Turi Evin, is safer, and Megillah asks, why are you yotza as a what? Why are you yotze as a one as a yachid? The Gemara says you're only not yotze as a tzibor, but as a private individual you're yotze. The Gemara says, if I would read it myself in the Megillah Ksuvim Zuvim yotze, if you do a tzibor you're not yotze. Ask the Turi Evin, you do a tzibor, so ignore the other nine guys. At least you should be yotze as a yachid. The Gemara says the whole thing implodes. You try to do a tzibor, the whole thing implodes. You're not yotze anything. Why shouldn't you be yotze at least as a yachid? Ignore the other nine guys there. Treat it as if you're in your own private room. That was the second kasha we asked. When you read the Megillah of Esther, that is connected to the other four Megillahs. Gemara says you're not Yotze. But you're not Yotze, it's only B'tzibor. Right? You're not Yotze B'tzibor. But if you do it as a private individual, you're Yotze. So let me ask you, you do it in front of nine other guys. So you're not Yotze B'tzibor Nikadib. You should be Yotze at least as a Yachid. And the Gemara says the whole thing implodes. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch too. That's the second kasha. Third kasha. The Rambam writes the following in Kuf Mem Gimel and Hilchos Sefer Torah. If you have two Sefer Torahs in a shul, one is puzzled, has a mistake in braces, bless you. You take it out, you put the first one back, you're reading the second one. Second one's good, good, good. You're in the middle of Shmos. You come along a mistake now in the second one. What do you do? The first one has a mistake in Sefer Bereishis, the other four are clean. Second one you've been reading out as a mistake in Shmos. Can you pull out the second one? Can you pull out the first one that you've been put back? The Rama writes, you can. The Rama writes, you can, because it's clean in the other four. And the Bir Halacha quotes Achronim say you cannot. Now what does the Gemara say in our Masechta and Daf Samech? Ein Korim B'chumashim. You cannot use for Kriyas HaTorah or Sefer Torah that only consists of what? Bereishis. Or only consists of Shmos. You're not allowed to read just one. That has just a Bereishis or Shmos. Why not? Because of Kavod HaTzibur. It looks cheap. The shul can't spend enough money to buy a whole Sefer Torah. So what does Kavod HaTzibur mean? So Rabbi Kivega Seichen San all the Mar Mekoymus about Kavod HaTzibur and Shas. If the Tzibur has no money, what are you supposed to do? Let them be Moch on the Kavod and only buy that. They don't have enough money. You see, the other Achronim didn't like this. The other Achronim had a different shot in what Kavod HaTzibur meant. Because the Ramah allows you to take out that first Sefer Torah. That first Sefer Torah is complete, but it's a mistake in Sefer Bereishis. The other four are clean, so it doesn't look bad. People probably forgot that the first Sefer Torah had a problem in it in Sefer Bereishis. So the Ramah allows you to take the first one out. But the other Achronim argue, and they say it's not acceptable. What's the Svarah? According to the other Achronim, why don't they allow you to take out the other Sefer Torah? Must be they have a different shot of what Kavanat Tzibur is. Not that it looks cheap, and it looks like they don't want to spend money. They have a completely different shot of what Kavanat Tzibur is. What is that shot? Those are the three kashas we said. Oh. So Shechtel wanted to point out the following. When Hashem gave us the Torah, Kafalem Harkagigis, we were forced to accept the Torah. And where was the contract? It's called the Sefer HaBris. The Torah says that phrase in Parshas Mishpatim. The Ramban says Sefer HaBris means the whole Torah. Rashi says it only means from the beginning of Bereishis to Mishpatim. The Ramban says it meant the whole Torah. Hashem made a contract with us. Where was the contract? The Torah HaKadosh. But that's where we were forced to accept the Torah. On Purim, we re-accepted the Torah willingly. But where was the contract? So if Shechtel wanted to claim, based on the Yushalmi, it was the Megillah Esther. And that's exactly the pshat we said yesterday from Rashi and Ram, Abita Shul Torah. Just like a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, a Megillah needs it as well. If you learn like Rashi and Rambam. Because Yushalmi writes, there are only two Svarim you can make drushes on. The Torah HaKadosha and Megillah Esther. You can't make drushes on anything else in Nach. That has halachic. Only on the Torah and on the Megillah Esther. Because those are considered to be the Sefer HaBris. And the Megillah is the Sefer HaBris for us accepting the Torah willingly. And therefore, when we lay in the Torah, Kriyas HaTorah, we're supposed to convey to the Tzibor, this is our Sefer HaBris. When we lay in the Megillah, we have to also convey, this is our Sefer HaBris. Therefore, this answers all three kashas. Where did Rambam get the halacha that if you take a Sefer Torah and you cling it with Nach, it brings down the level to make it a chumash? He imports a biological halacha that if a chicken has five legs, it's like it has three, it's a treif, it's possible. The answer is he got it from the Gemara Megillah. Because the Gemara says if you take a Megillah Esther and you cling it to the other four, you're not Yitzib at Sibor at all. Because the whole thing blows up. Because when you lay in the Megillah, you're supposed to convey this Sefer HaBris. And if it's not considered to be what? An Esther alone, then you are not Yitzib. Why can't you ignore the other nine guys are there? You can't. Because when you lay in the Tzibur, you're supposed to convey the Sefer HaBris, the whole thing implodes. The Rambam in Pirik Zayin, Halachat Tet Vav, and Sefer Torah, got it from the Megillah and Megillah. He'll tell you the Rambam's talking about a Sefer Torah. Rambam's talking about a Sefer Torah, and the Gemara and Megillah is talking about Megillah's Esther. What's the answer? They're the same thing. They're both the same for Abris. They're both the same for Abris. And since they're both the same for Abris, since they're both the same for Abris, the halacha is that what? Since they're both the same for Abris, they have to convey that same for Abris. If you add on or you subtract, the whole thing implodes. That answers the first kasha. Number two. This answers the second kasha. What was the second kasha? I can't hear you. That answers the second kasha. Exactly. Why are you not yotze what? Why are you not yotze as a what? Why are you not yotze as a seaborn? That answers the second kasha. Why are you not yotze what? Why are you not yotze the seaborn? Because the whole thing implodes. What? Sorry, pick that up. The whole thing implodes. I don't
know why this. You have to start off on fan.
What'd you say?
Start off on fan.
Okay. All right.
No, it's not working that good.
Okay. So that answers the second kasha. And what's the third kasha? The third kasha that we answer is as follows. That whenever you take out a Sefer Torah, you have to convey the Sefer Abris. If you don't convey the Sefer Abris, then you're not Yotze. And the other Achronim said, the reason why you can't read in a Shul or Chumash from a Brachus or Shmos, not because they look cheap. Because anytime there's a Kriyas HaTorah, what must you do? You have to be able to convey the Sefer Abris. And if you don't convey the Sefer Abris, you're not Yotze. So it's a formal halacha. Not that it looks bad and it looks like they're cheap. The other Achronim say you're not allowed to take that Sefer Brachus out. Because Sefer Brachus has a mistake in it. The other four are clean, so what? It's not a full Sefer Abris. And that's what we added on, please get it, is that if you have a person, the Shoel and the Chuvas Arashba, the one who asked the Rashba the Shaila, what did the Shoel say? And what will be if you put on the Sefer Torah brachos? You want to put brachos in the front of the Sefer Torah. That in order that the Ola, when he says the Zaliyah, he'll say the brachos. Will that disqualify the Sefer Torah? That will disqualify the Sefer Torah. Why? Because of Yeter Kenosel Domi. That is a Din D'Oraisa. It's not just a Din D'Rabbanan. It's not like Rashi said in Megillah, it looks bad. Looks like Mar Sinai that you're learning. If you take a Megillah Sester with the other four, looks like you're just learning. You're not doing it for Pursuming Nisa. Rashi said it looked bad. It looked like it was a problem of Mar Sinai. According to this Mahalach, it's not a D'Rabbanan problem of Mar Sinai. I want you to get that. It's a D'Oraisa problem. It's a D'Oraisa problem because you're not conveying the Sefer Abris. So the Shoel who formulated this Shaila to the Rashba and implied that it was a Din D'Oraisa, he is absolutely correct. That in fact is a Din D'Oraisa. So we also added on what would be if you put a Megillas Esther next to a Megillah. A Megillas Esther next to a Torah. Then maybe it would be what? Maybe that would be okay because they're both Sefer Abrises. But then we said maybe it's not okay because one was a Sefer Abris we were forced to accept. One was a Sefer Abris that we did it willingly. So maybe that would not be acceptable to add them, to put that in together. That was the Chiddush that we wanted to say. So please get that. That answers number two. And it all flows from Amitul Shel Torah. Rashi and the Rambam's definition that just like a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, so too what? So too Megillah does as well. That's how we got out of this whole Mahalach. If you took the shot of Rashi and Rambam as opposed to Tosafot yesterday. That's number two. Number three. One of the shittas that we said regarding what? Regarding Klei Zemer and music. Halacha l'maaseh. Okay? So let's see that. Okay. From the Gemara here on Daf Zayin. Okay? The Gemara said as follows. From the Gemara here in Zav Zayin, it's pretty clear that the Isser of music applies with musical instruments and singing, but only if it's associated with wine. That's what we said is pretty clear from our Gemara. Okay? That's just pretty clear from our Gemara. Now, Lamaisa, we said that there are two Isurim as to why it would be usher to listen to music. One is because it's associated with the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and we shouldn't be listening to music after the Churban. And number two is that it's a problem of what we would say, Kalas Rosh. And we don't want to what? We don't want to engage in things that will be what? That will be Kalas Rosh. Okay? We don't want to engage in things that would be an Isser of what? An Isser of Kalas Rosh. So that is the two approaches that we had regarding what? Regarding the Isser of music. But let's continue. Rashi on our Gemara seems to say, B'shem, the Gos Mordechai says, B'shem the Baal HaTaisis, the Isser is Chal on what? A party, Lamaisa, which is the Derech of what? Being like the non-Jews. So it's a third approach, like Chukos HaGoyim. This is Chal Rakal Mishta B'li Achila. You're like sitting there with wine and no food, because the food makes it like a regular meal. But if you're just doing it on music, on wine, that really what makes it more like Chukos HaGoyim. And Lamaisa, Tosfos added on the following element. I want you to get it. And that following element is that it must be Bikvias. Okay? Must be Bikvias. Meaning we Aser, Shira, even if it's not on wine. If you're getting out of hand with Onig, and it's done Bikvias. Okay? That's what Tosfos added on. Okay? So we have our Gemara that seems to say the Shira's Aser Bein Bikli, Bein Bipeh, but only on Yayin. And we said that Tosfos expands it, that it's Aser not even if it's associated with wine, if you're doing it Bikvias. If you're doing Bikvias, it's too much. Like getting up every morning to music, it's too much. It's too much Bikvias. Oh. Then there is the Rambam. The Rambam in the Tshuvas has a tremendous Chumrah, where he claims it's usher to sing word songs of tithe and preetzes, even if there is no wine or no instruments at all. And the Miri highlights that in our sugya, and he says you're not allowed to sing songs of Derech Kalas Rosh. He says places where there are women will lead to aveiros, and it's a terrible thing, he says. And we said basically, according to the Rambam and the Miri, you can be over up to 5 Yisurim. What are the 5 Yisurim? Listening to Divrei Tipshus, listening to Shira, listening to musical instruments. If it's on wine, it's another Isser, and if it's from a woman, it would be the Isser of Kol Isha Erva. Okay? So the Rambam is a tremendous Chumrah, the Tshuvas HaRambam. Basically, according to the Tshuvas HaRambam, who the Magen Avraham does quote Ladina, that it would be all songs. Songs, even without musical instruments, because of the Isser of Kalas Rosh. Okay? That's a very big Chumrah, but basically all music would be Usser, according to the Rambam in the Tshuvas and the Magen Avraham. And we said Rav Moshe held like this Ladina. We said this is probably the most usually in Ashkenaz we follow Rav Moshe, right? This is probably the most famous tshuva, Rav Moshe, that no one really follows. According to Rav Moshe, music would always be usher, unless it's divrei tishbachos to Hashem. Okay? So we said that that's a tremendous, tremendous chumrah that Rambam in the tshuvas. But let's get what the Mechaber and the Ramah say themselves. The Mechaber writes Beferish, Halacha Lamaisa. He says that you're not allowed to be involved. Right? So the Mechaber writes, anything that's associated with wine is usher. Okay? Anything that's associated with wine, musical instruments, shir v'peh, on wine is mamish usher. For nagu kol Yisrael lomar tiri tishbos or shir shol dos. But he says if it's Shir of Dishbos Hashem, it's fine. Oh. And the Ramah adds on the following, that only if it's done Bikvias is it Aser. Only if it's done Bikvias, the Ramah writes. Okay? If it's not done b'kviyus, it should be mutter b'peh, bein b'kli, we said. That's why everyone listens to music. Concerts, l'maisa, it's not b'kviyus. How can you have musical instruments, let's say? Let's say it's not shiris v'tishbachos l'Hashem. I don't know, you listen to music, right? Let's say classical music. We said also any of the rock songs with nivel peh are for sure usher. That there's no doubt about. Can't listen to any of that, we said. We said it might not be easy. Okay, if you've done it in your whole life, you try to ease away from it. But it's definitely, that's definitely not for a ben Torah, it's definitely usher. But classical music, how do you listen to? So the Ramah writes, if you don't do a b'kviyus, it's okay. According to Rav Moshe, it would be usher. According to Rav Moshe, it would be usher like the Rambam and the Chubas. So the Ramah adds two heterim. If you do it not b'kviyus, and Letzorich Mitzvah, he says, Letzorich Mitzvah, Kol Shari. Let's say you have a band playing music with no words of Shir Tishbachos L'Hashem. At a wedding, that's mutter according to Ramah. According to Rav Moshe, that's usher. Okay? According to Rav Moshe, that's usher. That would be usher. Only Shir Tishbachos L'Hashem. If you have just a guy playing music, how do you know that Shir Tishbachos L'Hashem? It's not. Just because it's at a wedding? According to Ram, the Ram didn't allow that. Only the Ram allowed only Shir Tishbachos L'Hashem. Musical interest would be usher according to Ram and the Chubas. The Magen Ram held like that the dinit. So it's a very big chumrah. So we basically follow the Ramah, as I said, but we have to know the shittas. Yeah, yes.
Should the shpachos be b'kviyus?
Yeah, they can be b'kviyus, no problem. Yeah. No, yeah, but I'm saying the Ramah allows, even if it's not shiris with the shpachos, as long as it's not b'kviyus.
But if it's b'kviyus, shiris with the shpachos can even be b'kviyus.
Yes, okay. Yes. Shiris with the shpachos for sure could be b'kviyus, for sure. But I want you to know that Magen Avraham, Rambam, the Chubas, and the Rav Moshe that has that chumrah, as I said, we don't per se hold like it, Ladinan. And we pointed out the Chuvah, the Chalkas Yaakov, where he said he didn't like concerts at all. Okay? The Pisgei Chuvas quotes Loros Nassen that he thought that concerts wouldn't be okay. He thought even though if the proceeds go to Tzedakah, it'd be a mitzvah bav aver. But we said that's against the Ramah. The concerts are done, shalom b'kviyus, and it's not Shiris v'tishbachos l'Hashem, one could be made. Okay, let's move on now. Let's move on. That answers Michael real quick. Go ahead. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's probably, he associates the issue we said with wine. I just had it right here. Yeah, so that's the Lashon. Let me read you the Lashon of the Mechaber one more time. Okay? Gosh Yisrael Nagim B'Klishir, right? The Samech Behen, Vatsal Hashem Ne'achurban, the Shira Fil Al-Pen Ayasura. The Mechaber seems to say Shira Al-Pen Ayayin is Aser, and any musical instrument would be an Iser even if it's not associated with wine. There are two tracks we said, remember? Shulchan Aruch said singing is only Aser with wine. The musical instruments would be Aser even without wine. That was what the Mechaber said. Okay? All right. That answers number what? Number three, four. We had in our Gemara a very serious issur on Zion and Alf upping Moses, informing on a fellow Jew. Okay? Informing on a fellow Jew, the issur of Moser. Very, very terrible issur. What was the machloikis between the Rashba and the Meiri, as to this getter of the Isser of Mesira? So the Machloikis was as follows. Let's get it. The Rashba writes, the reason why there's an Isser Mesira in the Chubas, the Rashba writes, is because we're afraid that when you turn in a fellow Jew, the government is going to punish him too harshly. More, he'll give him more punishment than he really what he deserves. And therefore, it's not proper. The Rashba writes, based on the Gemara's Lashon of Akamakuf Yitzayim Alfshe, Goyim Heim Ketokim Nichmar. They won't have mercy on him. Therefore, please get it. The Rashba writes, it would be mutter then to give in a fellow Jew who's already been a Moser. It would be mutter to give in a fellow Jew who's already been a Moser. Aye, he might be punished too much. Can't be. Because the din of a Moser really is, theoretically, you could execute him. The din is that it's mutter lahorek. right a moser. We don't do it chas v'sholom nowadays. It would be a chil Hashem to get tefillah machus adina, but bismana gemara, the gemara held. It was such a travesty, a Jew giving in to a fellow Jew. The Rashba says you could give in that fellow Jew is a moser to the government. I'll be punished undeservedly. No, there's no punishment undeservedly because really the guy's chayiv mis himself for being a moser, and therefore that's what the Rashba writes. Halacha l'maisa. That's what the Rashba writes. Halacha l'maisa. That's a Rashba's approach. So I want you to get that. What his approach is and what stems from his approach. On the other polar is the Meiri. The Meiri, we said, argued on this. And the Meiri said that there's an independent Isser to give in to be a Moser. No matter what. It's an independent Isser, Mukhlat. And it doesn't stem from a Chshash that will be punished too much. Therefore, the Meiri writes, this is why it's one of the categories of Moridin v'lo Malin. You put him in a pit, you don't take him up. You throw him in a pit, a Moser. It doesn't make a difference. The halach is that it's a separate thing. Therefore, the Meiri writes, I want you to get this, that it would be usser to turn in a fellow Jew who is a Moser. Because it doesn't make a difference. You never can engage in the enterprise of ever being a Moser. I don't care if you're being a Moser and another guy who's a Moser. You never can engage in it. It's a separate issue, writes the Meiri. Never, ever. With the one exception, we said, is if he's bothering the Tzibor. If he's hurting the Tzibor, then you could give him in, the Meiri says. And we said that's what the Rambam seems to say as well. If he's been tzar to Tzibor, you could give him in. Okay? If he's been tzar to Tzibor, and we said the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch seems to say like that as well. And then I want you to just add on, we had another opinion, a third opinion, a middle sheet of the Ramah, where the Ramah wrote, you should never give in a Moser, never give in a Moser, but if it's the only way that you can save yourself, you can give him in. Despite the fact that he's not hurting the Tzibor, he's hurting you. There's another way to stop it, do it. But if there's no other way, the Ramah had a middle opinion where he said you could give him in. According to Meiri, you can never give him in. Unless he's hurting the Tzibor. Well, he's only hurting you. So you could never give him in. According to the Rashba, you could give him in. The Ramah writes, middle opinion. Try to do it in another way to get him to stop it. If there's no other way, then you can give him in. Fine. That answers number what? Number four. Five. What did Tosfos and Gittin say? And the Rambam and the Mechaber regarding the din of Moser. Oh. Our Tosfos said as follows. It says the following. That anyone who prays to Hashem that Hashem should take care of this other guy who's hurting you, the Gemara writes in Baba Kama, you're punished first. You're never allowed to be Moser L'Shamayim. It's like you're also giving him over, informing Adam to Hashem. And that's Usher, the Gemara writes. The Gemara says you're punished first if you, God forbid, engage in that. Oh, so our Gemara implied that it was okay. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara says like this. If there was a way on earth that you could stop this guy's behavior, and you don't do it, you go to Hashem first, then you're punished first. If there's no other way, you have no other choice, then you're allowed to pray to Hashem. That Hashem should take care of him. So that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says there was no other. If there's no other choice, then you can daven to Hashem that they should be destroyed. But if there's another way you can take care of it in this earth, then Lamaisa, you must. Fine, that's Tosfos. What does the Rambam say about a Moser? Very severe. Rambam writes in Pirik Heches Alachates, Aser Limsor Yisrael Biad Goyin. Bein begufo, bein bimamona. We stress this. Not just him, but even his money. You inform on a guy that his money should be frozen and seized. That's also Moser. Vafilu haya Russia ubalaveris. Run. Even if the guy's a Russia ubalaveris. Vafilu haya meitzelo mitzaro. He's oppressing you and hurting you. And then concludes the Rambam. We got it. Kol ha-moiser Yisrael biad goyim, bein begufo, bein bemona, ein lo chelik lo ilam haba. Wow. Anyone who's a Moser, Yisrael biagoyim, whether it's guf or mamono, ain lo chelik al haba. That's the Rambam, very severe. What's the Mechaber in Ramah? The Mechaber in the Ramah, right? Very interestingly, we said the Mechaber sounds like the Shita of what? Mechaber says the Shita of the Rambam and the Meiri, and the Ramah adds on that middle position, we said already. And then add one more thing on. We said that Rav Moshe Brown, when he was Masvid Rav Ruderman Zatzal, he came in, he said that he was visiting Rav Ruderman Zatzal. Rav Ruderman was complaining that he was forgetting Torah. So Rav Brown, Shlita, asked Rav Ruderman Zatzal, what's the name? Kimle Bidrabim Ne by a Moser. A guy's about to inform on a fellow Jew. He has a Chiv Misa on him. Let's say you break his car or you damage his property. Do you have to pay or not? No. Because why? He has a Chiv Misa on him. So the din is, again, Nachama. Let's say the guy, the Jew, that is going to inform on the other Jews, breaks your car. Does he have to pay or not? Says the Achiezer and Simon Zion, Reb Chaim Oizer, we say Kim Lebin Rabim on a din of a Moser as well. And he won't have to pay any money. Because he had a Chiv Misa on his head. Just like a Rodef. For Rodef running after you to kill you, anyone can kill the Rodef, including yourself, to defend yourself. Let's say he breaks a car while he's running after you. Does he have to pay? No, because he had a Chiv Misa on him. So I want you to get that regarding this din. That answer is 6. 7. I'm sorry, that answer is 5. 6. What was the machlokes between the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Moshe Zatzal on the din of Moser? How are we masper? Oh. Does the din of Moser, is the din of Moser mutter for a democratic government? Are you allowed to turn in a fellow Yid to a democratic government where the rules make sense? The Beis Yosef says, B'shem the Rashba, that it is mutter. There were Tanoim that did this, and the Gemara critiqued them. They shouldn't have been involved in it because they were tzaddikim. But the bottom line is what they did, Mikra Adin, was mutter. The Ritva writes the same thing, that it's mutter for a Shliach HaMelech to even execute people with certain conditions, as long as it makes sense with a democratic government. So the Isser of Moser would not apply to a democratic government. Oh. However, this Shita was the Rashba, please get it. Beis Yosef, B'shem the Rashba. Guess who argues? The Meiri. What does the Meiri say? The Meiri writes that it is an Isser to give over a fellow Yid, even to a democracy. Even to a democratic government where the rules make what? Make sense. He said, even in that case, it is considered to be what? It is considered to be prohibited. Okay? We got it? The Meiri says it is prohibited to give over. Anyone who does this is considered to be a malshin. Okay. How are we masber that? L'shitosom. Because according to the Rashba, the whole problem of a Moser is what? They'll be punished undeservedly with a democratic government. That's never going to happen. So therefore it's mutter. But l'fi the Meiri, the getter of Moser is what? What's the getter of Moser according to the Meiri? It's an independent Isser. You never can engage in the enterprise of being a Moser. So it's even Usser for a democratic government. This trickled down, we said, to a Machlaikis, the Aruch HaShulchan or a Moshe, about being an IRS officer or agent. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that there's only an Isser of Moser by a dictatorship. By a democratic government, Dina Machusadini, you must pay taxes, there's no problem. And Rav Moshe argued, Choshe Mishpat Simon Sadi Beis said that there's an issur to be an IRS officer, even though we said it's a chiddush because Dina Machusadina, but we said that if there's a good chance you taking your job, that you'll have to turn in fellow Yidim, you shouldn't take the job. Now, if you work in the IRS in another department, and a 1 in 1,000 chances might come up, you might have to turn in a Yid. So that would be a Chil Hashem, Rav Moshe says, if you took the job and you didn't give him over, so that'd be mutter. But to be a guy that would actually engage in that, Rav Moshe writes it's Asr. Even though it's Dina Machus Adina. Because who's Rav Moshe following? Who? The Meiri. Excellent. And therefore, that machleik is the machleik Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Moshe. Fine. That answers number six. Now we said, of course, if you have a yid that's what? Pikuch Nefesh case, right? Then obviously you could give him in, right? If it's a Pikuch Nefesh, the guy's a murderer, he's killing people, right? Obviously that's what, it's not one of the Gimel Averis, right? Obviously you could give him in. Talk about a situation where it's not Pikuch Nefesh. Okay. Let's go on now. That's number one, six, seven, up. What was the mahalach we had by Pilegish Begiva? Amazing. We had the following mahalach. Let's get it. We on number seven, Pilegish Begiva. There was a story in Navi. Story in Navi states, in Shoftim, that there was a man who had a Pilegish. Definition of a Pilegish is, according to the Ramban, is a woman without Kiddushin and Ksuba. They were traveling. Before they were traveling, Lamaisa, they had gotten in a fight. She left him and went to her father. The guy went to the father and became friendly with his father-in-law. After a few days, he says, let's go home. They go home, they leave the father-in-law's house, they're traveling back, and they want to stay in a certain place, Yavusi. They weren't able to stay there. They went to stay in Giva. None of the people in Giva would let them in. It's like Mamish Stone, except for one family. One family brought them in. Then the people in the middle of the night said, give us the visitor. They wanted to sodomize him. The Bala Bas said, no way. I refuse to give it. He said he'd give him his own daughter. And maybe the Pilegish. The din is, that's what he did. He gave over to Pilegish. And they lived with her the whole night, the people in the community. And the Pasuk shot in the Pasuk is, she came to the doorstep and she was already dead. So the husband, or this husband of the Pilegish, was so upset, he cut up her body into 12 pieces, sent it to all the Shvatim and said, this is the behavior of Shevet Binyamin. Horrible behavior. So it caused a civil war. All the Shvatim came against Binyamin, lost twice. On the third time they asked the Urim V'Tumim, first two times they asked also. It said Allah and they didn't say V'Matzliach. The third time all of the Yitzluch, and they destroyed the people of Binyamin. Only there was a group of people from Menasha that didn't come to fight either. This was the story of Pilegish Begiva. Terrible civil war. A lot of people were killed. Only 600 men from Binyamin were left alive. And then they married 400 women from the country in Evrayard of Menasha, because those guys didn't come and fight. So they got angry at them. They knocked them off. So you had 600 men with the 400 women. And then he had 200 men left who had no one to marry, because they made a shvuah. The Shvatim didn't want to get involved in Binyamin. They didn't want to marry anyone from Binyamin. So the 600 men from Binyamin were able to marry these 400 women from Menashe, from Eber Yardi. There were 200 men left. So that's how you have the story of Tubav at the end of Titus. That's how they got out of the shvuah. No one gave over their daughters. They picked them themselves. Okay, that was the background. Our Gemara presented two adayas as to what caused the original fight. Why did the Pilegish leave her husband? Why did she leave her husband? So Rabbi Aviesar said it was a zvuv that was found in the food. And Rabbi Yonason said it was the neman. And the Gemara had the two lashonos, yochazer over them, okay, inside. And the Gemara said that HaKadosh Baruch was masking to the Rabbi Aviesar. We said, in what sense was he masking to Rav Yosser? Because the Marav Shif said he really didn't get angry about this move, he got angry about the Nima. So one shot we said is he got angry at both, after both happened. But Rav Moshe says the following. This is what we got to get. I want you to get it. You got to get everything we said before, but let's get this. Rav Moshe was asked to Shiloh. In certain hospitals in Eretz Yisrael, they started doing autopsies. Autopsies are aser, unless it's a pikuach nefesh case. Nifal ames. He was asked, they were going to do a demonstration at this hospital to stop the autopsies. They asked Rav Moshe, could they bring pieces of a dead body in order to kind of like amplify the demonstration, to make it a stronger demonstration. That's what they asked Rav Moshe. It's going to delay the burial of these limbs. Limbs need to be buried. Rav Moshe Paskin, it's okay. It was mutter to amplify the demonstration. And it's not considered to be delaying the kfura because it's l'shem mitzvah. And he brought a raya from our Gemara that the man, the husband of this pilegish, this concubine, cut her up and sent her to the different what? Shvatim. You see that that practice of having pieces of a dead person were okay to have the burial delayed. Because it was l'shem mitzvah. He said, how can these guys behave like that? He wanted them to be given mussar. Okay, it caused a civil war. So Rav Moshe writes, it's mutter. Then Rav Moshe says, well, how do I know that this guy was an Adam Kusher? How do I know that this guy was an Adam Kusher? This husband of the concubine. So Rav Moshe says, I'll prove to you that it was an Adam Kusher. Why? Because based on our Tosfos, please get it, on the bottom, if a Pilegish is Mizana, theoretically, she had no Kedushin and she had no Ksuba, she wasn't married to you. So if she's Mizana, you could still live with her. So Rav Moshe learns Pshat and Tosis that there was a Gzera developed. That just like a husband that's married to a woman, if she's Mizana, she's ushered to the husband forever and ever. They made a Gzera that if you have a Pilegish that was Mizana with another man, a minig developed that also she's ushered to you forever. Because they didn't want you to get confused. If they would allow you to be with your Pilegish after she was Mizana, people would start thinking a married woman that's Mizana would also be mutter, which is for sure ushered. Asura labal, asura laboyo. And this man practiced this minig. That's why he wouldn't live with her. That's why he wouldn't live with her if she was what? Mizana. That's what Tosa said, that it was not Znus Mamish. She was not Mizana, this Pilegish. Because if she was Mizana, he never would have tried to go after her to relive with her. So it must be, Tosa says, that it wasn't Znus. She was looking for food. She wasn't Mizana. Batizna didn't mean Znus. She was not Mizana. And therefore, Rav Moshe proves that this man is an Adam Kusher. That's why David HaMelech would never live with the Pilagshin that Avshalom lived with. Once Avshalom lived with these women, David HaMelech didn't touch them the rest of his life. Because it was a Gzeir, it was a Minig developed. So Rav Moshe proves that he was an Adam Kusher. And Rav Moshe says, you know why Hashem agreed to Rav Yasser? Because they both got the right shot right. They both said she wasn't Mizana. So that's how we know the Rav Yasser was a bar sunk, and that's how we know this man was an Adam Kusher. Okay? So Rav Moshe says, therefore, bringing the body pieces are permissible to the demonstration. Now, we pointed out, as Rav Moshe himself said, this was mamish against the Rashi and the Radak. Because they learned that she was Mizana. He says that's against our Gemara. They must have had some medrash against our Gemara. That's what Rav Moshe said. They learned Rashi and Radak and Navi that she was Mizana. Against our Gemara, against our Tosfos. Please get that. That's number one point. And number two point we pointed out, that how could Rav Moshe hold this guy was a good guy? Must be, who's the one that threw her out of the house? That they raped her? It couldn't have been what? The husband, who was it? Must have been the owner of the house. And that's against the Radak and Rashi. Please get that down as well. Rav Moshe must have learned the Pesuk and Navi different than Rashi and Radak. A little different than the Radak and the Metzudas David. The Radak and the Metzudas David said, who's the one who threw her out of the house? It was the husband himself. That's not a good guy. Caused her to get killed. So must be Rav Moshe learned it was the owner of the house that threw her out. That's number two. And number three, you must assume the following, that when she came to the doorstep after being sodomized the whole night, that she was dead already. Because it says, Beferish, that he himself cut her up. if she wasn't dead already, that means he would have killed her. Then how could Rav Moshe said that she was that he was a good guy? So Rav Moshe must have also learned that she was already dead when he cut her up. And therefore, Rav Moshe, we have to assume, learn like that on those points. So I want you to get that. That's the mahalak that we said. Baki Legis, we give it amazing. This showed unbelievable kias, Rav Moshe, right? He asked the Shiloh about this demonstration. He brings it right out of Shas, Lomaisa, this Gemara of Avam and Beis. That he assumes he was an Adam Kosher, and what he did was what was correct. And it's a Chiddush what Tosis develops, Rav Moshe learned from Tosis, there was a Gzeira of a Pilegis. We said that was quite difficult, because how did Rashi and Chumash define it? How did Rashi and Chumash define it? A Pilegish. She has Kedushin without a Ksuba. Kedushin without a Ksuba. Lomais. And there was Nus. If she was married, that was Nus. Unless you say we said she was raped. And she was raped. Right? So then she wouldn't be Asura Labayim. Okay. That answers number what? Number six. But I want you to get that concept of what Asura, what the definition of the Pilegish is also. Rashi al Chumash asked that Kashin. Rashi and Chumash asked that kasha. I mean, not Rashi and Chumash. We said the Chassam Sofer asked that kasha. That it was a bit of a stira. The Chassam Sofer asked that kasha. That Rashi Soser himself from Chumash, Lomais, from Chumash, Mashma, that Isra Eshashish. Chassam Sofer says that Rashi and the Gemara was not an Eshashish. There was no Isra Gili Arayis. Okay? A bit of a stira. All right, Viker. That answers number one. Seven. Let's go. Eight. What was the Gilyone Ashas's Chiddush? Diyuk and Rashi and Gili Arayis. The Gemara says the following: that it is usur to instill extra fear in your house because it'll lead to three averis: Gili Arayis, Shvichas Damim, and Chilul Shabbos. Rabbeinu Chananel had a girsa Chilul Hashem. Tosus quoted the Rabbeinu Chananel Chilul Hashem. Okay. In what sense does Rashi explain the leads to Gili Arayis? So we would have said, we said, she'll run out of the house, she'll leave her husband, she'll mezana with another man, poshut. That's what we would have said. Rashi says an unbelievable chiddush, that it's the winter, and she'll lie to her husband, and she'll say she went to mikveh when she really didn't go to mikveh. And therefore, he'll live with her who's in need. What do you see from this Rashi, says Rabbi Yosef Engel? That the Isra of Nida is defined as Gili Arayis. Because what did the Gemara say? Gili Arayis. Rashi says this whole shot that it was an Isra Nida. So you see from here that Rashi holds, like the Rambam, that the Isra of Nida is Gili Arayis, and you say Yarva Yarva. Someone takes a gun to my head and says, I'm going to kill you unless you live with that woman who's in Nida. The din is I have to let myself be killed, according to this Rashi and the Rambam as well, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef. Tosfos we learned earlier on Daf Beis and Beis says, what's the marker for Eidech HaNema Bisurim? Needed. Suffer a lot. You see that he held the Yisra of Nida, Rabbein Atam, and the Sefer Yosher, held it was not Gili Arayis. He held it was not Gili Arayis. So it's a Machlokes, Rashi, and the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, against the Rabbeinu Tam and the Sefer Yashar, who claim, Pnei Yoshu also has in the Tshuvas, that it is not considered to be Gili Arayis. That's the Chiddush that we wanted to suggest here. Rashba writes Nida is an Irva Lamaisa, along with the Rambam, but that's the Chiddush. Please get it. That was the deal that we said. Because why did Rashi have to say that? Just say she ran away from her husband was Mizana. Rashi says this is old shtickle Torah. See from Rashi, an amazing chiddush. This of Nida is called an irva. It's a gilras of the pasuk shot in the chumash. You look in the Arayis, Nida is there. Okay.
What's the gilras shas?
That's the chiddush of the gilyon shas in Rashi. That's the chiddush of Yosef Engel in Rashi. Exactly. Yes. Okay. Number nine. What do we say on the din about toros shel chasen v'kala? Let's get that. We learned that there was a gzeirah made not to wear crowns because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore. Let's get this. We divided it up into two categories. One for men, one for women. Let's start with chasanim. Let's start with chasanim. It's mashma from the Tosfos, we said, that it's not only a crown, but it's also a type of scarf that they wore over their heads. Both those things seem to what? Seem to be included in this gzeirah. So it was a crown and also a scarf on their head. Now, that's the first point we said from the Tosfos mashma like that, Lamaisa, Tosfos mashma that it's referring to both. Okay. Next point. Is this Isser only on a chassan or even any men? So we said this is a big machloikis. Tosfos, the Ramban, the Rashba said it's only by chassanim. Only by chassanim. However, the Meiri said it's usher for any person, any man, not just a chassan. Oh.
Meiri.
That's what the Meiri said. Now the Pashto says the status of the sister is the Rabbana. It was a gzeir. Made the end of the Mishnah in Sota, Gazer b'pumashal aspasinus. Because, you know, the Korban was about to begin. However, there is a shita of the Yotzer Agonim that says it's a din diaraisa. Amazing din. Mamish. How can it be diaraisa? Yes. Because the gzeir was made before the Korban. The drasha that he made diaraisa is after the Korban. So it could be that maybe it was an issu d'oraisa, but it's a big chiddush. The pashtus is l'maisa that the Rambam l'maisa assers the crown and the scarf. Okay. And that's what he wants to say l'maisa that this din l'maisa, and it, the pashup shot is that there might be two girsas in the Rambam. Whether this is limited only to a chassan or applies to anyone. Okay. But it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch that it's only for what? Only for a chassan, this din. So that's regarding a chassan. Now what about the crowns of a kala? Oh. So, l'maisa, the Ramban, Tosfos, the Rashba say, the Isser is only for a kala. Does not apply to all women. However, the Meiri again writes that this is usher. This crown of women is also not just for kalas, but any women. So we have a machloikis again, l'maisa. Okay, now, next point. Is this only limited to gold? Or does it apply even to a cloth thing? Okay? Or does it apply even to a cloth thing as well, or for that matter, any metal? So the Rambam, along with the Ramban, say any metal is usher. It's made from cloth, it's mutter. Yeah, if it's made from cloth, it's mutter. Again, any gold, any metal is usher. The Rambam, the Ramban, it's made of cloth, it's going to be mutter. What happens if it's mixed? We said it depends on what the ikar of it is. If the ikar is the metal, then it's usher. The Taz had a chiddush, he said. He said even if the majority of it is cloth and there's a little bit of metal, it's still usher. Still usher. Okay. That's what we said from the Taz. That's what we said from the Taz, halacha l'maisa. Okay. Fine. What's the psak halacha? Mechaber says, again, this is only for a chassan and a kala. Does not apply to other people as well. And the pashup shot is the isser is not just on the crown, but even this special scarf as well. And that's what we discussed about the tiara. Tiara, right? How do you pronounce it?
Tiara.
Is that okay? Pashup shot, we said, l'maisa, it's not this crown, right? It's not a crown. She doesn't wear it like a crown, does she? She doesn't wear it like a crown. So we thought the pashtus was it should be okay. Shouldn't fall under this isser of Atera Shalkalis. Okay, that answers number what? Number?
Nine.
Ten, let's go. The Gemara at the top of Zion Amid Beis said a chiddush that an ani has to give stuck as well. Daniel, you were bothered by that. But that's the din that we had on Zion Amid Beis. What's the nature of a chiyuv of an ani to give stuck? Gemara writes it beferish. So we said as follows. This halacha that an ani must give stuck He must give a minimal amount, which is a shlishis ha-shekel every year. But, we said, we are not mechuyiv to force him. We accept it from him, but if he doesn't give, we're not kofif to him to give. The Rosh Hashulchan sets a mitzvah on the goof to bekayim it, and therefore what he should give that minimum amount, but he doesn't have to worry about parnasa of other people. And that's why we're not mechayim to give it to the kupa, the tamchui. We're not obligating him to give it to the soup kitchen. We're not kofa him, but if he gives it, we accept it. Okay? He has such a chiyuv. Interesting. Now, the marker for this din comes from a pasuk in Sefer Nochem. Okay, what does that mean? Only if you have a lot, ein li ela matana merubin. Matana muetis, how do I know? Titein naso nitein b'chol makom. So Rashi says as follows, okay? This teaches us as follows, that a person always must give if you have money, and you shouldn't be worried that maybe you'll become poor and you won't have enough money to live. So the Gemara in Bab Metzia learns out a completely different halacha from here. Not that an ani's got to give tzedakah. It's not referring to an ani. But rather it's referring to a wealthy fellow who has the means, and he should still give. He should still give and not withhold giving because he thinks he'll become poor. That's the Gemara in Bab Metzia and Lamed Aleph from the base. However, our Gemara with that pasuk in Nochem applies it that an ani must give tzedakah. He should give. We're not going to be kofim, like we said, but he must give. And that pasuk we said is a chiyuv midivrei Kabbalah. The stomach's mechiyuv midrabbanan, not a chiyuv midiraisa. But there is such a halacha that an ani must give. And the last point is that the Rama writes one's own parnas is kodum l'chol adam. And you're not chayav to give stuck if you can't live yourself. You have to make sure you have yourself. But nonetheless, there is a possibility that an ani must give tzedakah, but maybe he could give it to a guy, another ani, on condition of giving it back to him. So that was a possibility that we said from the Ramah. That maybe what? An ani who needs to live, he can't live without it. So how can he give? So maybe give it to another ani on condition of giving it back. Okay, that answers number what? 10, 11. What's the mahalach of Mav Emtun Shal Sadiqim? So the Gemara says, amazing, you're never supposed to instill fear in someone's house, extra fear, Rebbe Bo said, because it was an Anam Gadol that instilled extra fear in his house and they fed him a Dover Gadol. What's a Dover Gadol? Avram Minachai. God forbid, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel ate Avram Minachai. The Gemara says, Hashem never lets a behemoth of a tzaddik eat something not kosher. How much more so a tzaddik himself? So the Gemara answered, well, they were about to give him a Dover Gadol. And it didn't happen. Oh. From there we see the cloud that Hashem never allows a tzaddik to eat something not kosher. Hashem never allows the behemoth of a tzaddik to eat something not kosher. And Hashem never allows a tzaddik himself to eat something not kosher. Aye. Tosis said we have cases. The Gemara says, Tosis answers, those cases, the food was not usher. They were just eaten at Zmanim where it was usher, namely before Havdalah, or on a day where they thought it was Yom Kippur, where they should have observed Yom Kippur and they didn't. The food itself wasn't usher. It was just a Zman where it's usher. That could happen. But to eat something that's not kosher, that Hashem always watches and makes sure that a behemoth of a tzaddik, and how much more so a tzaddik himself. Oh. Now the Gemara has a story with the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. He refused to eat tevel. We said the poshup shot in the Gemara that it was demai. Now what's demai? What's the difference between demai and tevel? Tevel's asim midiraisa, demai is only asim midirabonan. Oh. So he said the following. Unbelievable, I want you to get this. Yisurim in the Torah, are they Yisuri Gavra or Yisuri Chefsa? Machloikis Ritvin the Rashba. Are Yisurim in the Torah Yisurim on the Gavra? Or are they Yisurim on the Chefsa? In the actual things themselves, there are properties of Yisur. Big machlokes, Ritva Rashba Nedar and Daf Yitzayin. But what about Isuri Drabbanan? The Nesivus has a famous comment that you gotta get. That by Isuri Drabbanan, those are Isuri Gavra. The Chachamim spoke to people, not to Chafatzim. The Rabbanan asher things on people. Therefore, the Nesivus has a stunning Chiddush in Simon Reish Lamed Dalet. That if you're over Nisid the Rabbanan B'Shoigeg, there's no requirement for Kapar. Because Nisid the Rabbanan is only doing it rebelliously. If you did it B'Shoigeg, you're going to have to do Kapar. If you do it Nisid Yeraisah Shmuel, which is an Nisir Chepsa, the bottom line is you did an Nisir. So who cares whether you did it B'Shoigeg or Nisir? You need Kapar. But Nisid the Rabbanan, if it's done B'Shoigeg, there's no merit. If there's no merit, then there is no requirement of Kapar. That is the chiddush you must know of the Nesivus. That Isurei Derabbanan are Isurei Gavra. Oh. Now why is this important, germane to us? Because we said as follows. We said, Lamaisa, this whole discussion of Behemten Shel Sadikim and Sadikim themselves, if it includes Isurei Derabbanan, namely Demai, that is talking about an Isser on the Chefsa. Hashem makes sure that Sadiqim don't even eat Isser the Rabbanon or their behemoths. Well, if they're doing it B'Shogeg, what's wrong? I mean, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's not something you need Kapar for. Must be that Isser the Rabbanon are Isser Chefsa. This is the Sefer Ayin Yitzchak, Reb Yitzchak Chanan, Specter. The Sefer Arzav the Rabbanon say against the Nesivus. They say eating before Avdallah is an Issa the Rabbanon. A Demai is an Issa the Rabbanon. And therefore, Lamaisa, one could suggest that what? That this whole halacha assumes that Isuri the Rabbanon, there are Isuri Chefsa against the Nesivus. Now you could get out of it and you could say that B'Shogeg, they did not employ an Isser Chefsa. Okay? But the bottom line is, the Poshup Shot is that one could say, Lamaisa, that this whole topic of Behemten Shel Sadikim, if it includes even Isser Derabbanan, namely Demai, then that would imply that Lamaisa, this is an Isser what? Isser Chefsa. And not an Isser what? And not an Isser Gavra. So this would imply against the Nesivus. Okay, but nonetheless, Hashem always watches the tzaddikim and after the tzaddikim, but only if the foods are us. If it's an Isman where it was us, if the food's kosher, then there's no haftachim. Fine, that answers number what? That answers number 11, 12. What do we say on the halacha? You're not allowed to instill extra fear in your home. You're supposed to say things benichusa. You're supposed to say things in a what? In a calm manner, not to be hot-tempered and scare your kids. Chas v'sholom. You're supposed to be calm. Hashem, you get married, you'll have children. You'll see. You're supposed to be even-mannered, right? You're supposed to be in the middle, right? My wife always gives me a hard time that I'm too lenient.
Okay.
And my excuse to her is I have no sons. If I would have sons, I'd be more machner.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if that'd be the case either. But we can't. We have to be in the middle. You cannot be too strong. Okay. I tell you, growing up as a kid, I know a family that were, the family was, you never know why children go off the derech. But there was a family that the parents were more observant than my parents. And they were very, very strong with the kids. Very, very strong with the kids. Very, you know, discipline-wise. And all three of them are not Shomer Torah mitzvahs. All three of the kids. Okay, you never know. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I remember that when I had to stay there once, when my parents went away for, so I had to stay there once, the father, when he would come home, would, I guess they weren't supposed to watch TV only at certain times, he would check the TV to see if it was warm. You know, it's a little extreme. Okay, you never know why. But this is a very important clock, okay? All right, let's get what we said about this, okay? We said that the key word in the Gemara was Eima Yisera, extra fear. But we said that the Gemara writes and has examples that you are allowed to instill fear. Okay, there should be reverence, but not extra fear. Okay? Not extra fear. And we said the following, that the Meiri was Masbir in Maseches Shabbos, that if you command your household to do something in a manner of anger, v'akpada, we're afraid, l'maisa, they're going to do it mitoch yirasa. She'asu, afa bishalo asu. Yesh chashem mitoch yirasu, yomru she'asu. They're going to lie to you, the Miri says. Even though they what haven't really done it. And that's what the Machas HaShakel quoted on Shulchan Aruch. Okay? And we said that the Emek HaShelah, the Nesiva says, that's why the Gemara didn't say it B'loshen Raka. You have to say it in a soft way. But it's got to be Nichusa pleasantly that they'll accept the words and they won't make fun of it. And that's what we said, the Sfasem said the notion of Nichusa is. You say it in a nice language. Doesn't mean you say it Raka. It should be firm and nice, but not too strong. And then we said that the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Deis, Yachol Adam Lahatal Eima Al Banav B'nei Beisav. You can instill fear. The Yisr is that we said Eima Yisera though. And that's what it means, Dafka Al Kol B'nei Abayis Chutz Me'ishto. But your wife, Bez Hashem, you guys will get married, you can't instill any fear at all. So with the kids, Eima, anyone Eima Yisera is Usher, and your wife, no Eima at all. And that's one of the things that I talk about with fellows sometimes that are going start going out. The most surprising things you'll see when you go out and you start dating is that the women are much more sensitive than men, and you have to be able to gauge yourself accordingly and act properly. You know what I mean? Something that you would think would not be a problem at all. I remember saying, whoa, you know what I mean? You say something, you don't think it's a problem, right? You know? You hear yourself, whoa. But you have to, that's the very fundamental thing. And that maybe stems from this Rambam in Hilchos Deis. In Hilchos Deis, the Rambam says, when it comes to your wife, you don't have any aim. None at all. Okay. That answers number what? 12. 13. Oh, let's try to finish. What do we say on the din of Cherish and Misager and the din of Mechir? Asa Rav LaBavel, that was on Vavah Mer Aleph. What do we say on that? So the time on Vavah Mer Aleph, it says, from the time that Rav got the Bavel. Now who was Rav? First generation Amora. The only Amora who can argue on a Tana, we said, was Rav. Morim Ksubis. Rav Tano Public. From the time that Rav got the Bavel, he set up a system, because in Bavel at that time was like two provinces. He set up yeshivas, and there was a transportation system of communication back and forth, intra-Bavel. Rav created the system, now there was kiyum everywhere, because he established yeshivas. But wasn't the Cherish and Misager there already? Who is this Cherish and Misager? So the Gemara said at the end of the Masechta and Pechesim and Aleph meant they were Gedolim. Mamash Gedolim and Shas. And there would be a sugya, and everyone would be quiet to come listen to them. And then if someone asked them a kasha, that's what the word Cheroshim means. Everyone became like Cheroshim to listen to them. But then if someone asked them a kasha and they didn't know the answer, Sagru, they closed the sugya. Because if they couldn't answer it, no one could. It just was demonstrating these were how it would break Gedolim. So they came to Bavel. Didn't they? They lived in Bavel before Rav came. Yes, there was a lot of Torah before Rav came, no doubt. But before Rav came, there was no intra, a communication, a system of yeshivas set up where there would be Edom everywhere for Kiyum. That's what we said the pshat was. Then Tosas quoted a Yeshua force from another pshat that Rav did not mean Rav, but who did it mean? It meant Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshivas. Did not mean Rav himself. That was the other pshat. So that also fits into that, but it didn't mean Rav. Now, remember we said, I think we said it over. What does it mean that Rav's the only Amora can argue on a Tana? Remember we said that Rav Shetka pointed out the Rabban and Baba Kama quotes like 11 cases in Shas where Amora argue on Tanoim? Remember we said that? What's the answer? An Amora theoretically can argue on a Tana. Yes? He can't. But all of Rashas, the premises, the Gemara asks Kasha Namorim from Tanoim, from Mishnah's prices, what's the answer? If the Amora thinks 100% the din is so, he can argue on a Tana. But if he has an intuition, which you can paskin based on an intuition, the Ramah writes. If you have an intuition, if the Amora had an intuition, then the Gemara asks him, your intuition's wrong. It's against a Mishnah, it's against a Brisa. But Rav, even with an intuition, he was the only Amora who could argue on a Tana. Remember, that's what we said, Rav Shechter said over from Rav Ochonon. Because the Gemara says, Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Lach, Rabbi Yochanan. Whenever the Machlis Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, Rav is the only Amora who can argue on a Tana. What's the shot? Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Lach, Rabbi Yochanan. When they held 100%, we hold like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. But Rav was the only Amora with intuition could pass against a Tana. Remember we said that? Remember we said there's no precedence, there's no concept precedence in Allah. The Gemara writes at the end above Metziah and Pehe Manaf, Ravina Ravashi Sofo Rol. It closed the chapter in history. No one can argue on the Gemara. That's a din. No one can argue on the Gemara. But the Ramah writes, an Akron can argue on a Rishon, he's entitled to his opinion, he has rights. Rav Moshe could argue, Rav Chosanish could argue on Rishonim. There was a sefer published in the 80s. Remember he said against Rav Moshe, how could Rav Moshe argue on a Kivager? What do you mean? You can have an Akron argue on a previous Akron or previous Rishon if he's a Gadol, if he has Rayas. You can't argue on the Gemara. The whole premise of the Sefer was wrong. Okay, that's what we said, Lamais. Okay? Alright, very good. 14. What was our Mahalach on the Din Sefer Torah Shabbalah? The Tfilin Shabbalah Enosim Emezus. Oh. Tosfos on Vavam and Beis, the Tosfos about Sirtu quoted. Okay? That there is a Gemara Menachos that says, if you have a Sefer Torah that gets bad, you're not allowed to what? You're not allowed, you have a Sefer Torah or Tefillin that gets bad, Lashon HaGemara, the sign is Sefer Torah Shabbalah, the Tefillin Shabbalah, ain't osim the mezuzahs. A Sefer Torah Tefillin that got bad, you can't use it for mezuzah. Why? Please get it. Because you're downgrading the Kedusha. Sefer Torah and Tefillin has many more parshios than a mezuzah. So you can't take a Sefer Torah and Tefillin and downgrade it to a mezuzah. The Sefer Torah and Tefillin got bad, you can't transfer it to a mezuzah. Fine. The Gemara implies, though, that if you could downgrade it, it would be more permissible. How? I thought a mezuzah needs sirtut, and the Sefer Torah and Tefillin does not need sirtut. So how can you use the same parshios for mezuzah? That was Tosis Raya, that you do not do what? And what did the Gemara answer? The Gemara answer holds a machlekes whether mezuzah needs sirtut or not. Why did the Gemara answer? We're talking about a case where you did use your sefer Torah and your tefillin to had sirtut. Must be you're not allowed to. That's what Tosa said. Right? The Gemara answer would have a machlekes don't know whether mezuzah needs sirtut or not. We were going like the Mandomer Lemaisa that the mezuzah doesn't need sirtut. We pass the mezuzah needs sirtut. Why did the Gemara answer? We're talking about a case where you did the tefillin with the sirtut. Answer is you shouldn't do it. Oh. So we pointed out as follows. That was the pshat in the Gemara there. We pointed out as follows. Very, very fascinating, we said. We said there's an interesting discussion that comes up. Halacha l'maisa. Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar says that a Sefer Torah you can do sirtun in every line. Tefillin not. Okay. Fine. So we said as follows. The following chiddush. There is a machloikis whether sirtut has to be done lishma or sirtut doesn't have to be done lishma. Right? The tour writes that you should do sirtut on your tefillin to write straight. The Bach says, but the Gemara says tefillin, they don't do. They don't do sirtut. How could the tour says do sirtut on tefillin to write straight? It's against the Gemara. So the Bach says that even if you do sirtut on tefillin, it's pasul mezuzah. Why? Because you need sirtut lishma. So even if you did do sirtut on the tefillin, it would not be kosher for the mezuzah because the sirtut has to be done lishma. And therefore, if you do sirtut on the tefillin is because the sofer cannot write well, that's pasul mezuzah. Because it's got to be written lishma. It's not written lishma, it's pasul. It's not written lishma, it's going to be pasul. There is a halacha that has to be written lishma. And the halacha is, the Pesach Teshuvah says, B'shem the sefer b'nei Yonah, that you need sirtut lishma. So we said beferish that that's what emerges from this Gemara. I want you to get it. The Gemara said, why can't you tell me we're talking about a case where there was sirtut for the tefillin? The sirtut for the tefillin wouldn't be good, Lemaisa. Because even if you did sirtut for the tefillin, right? Lemaisa? Even if you did sirtut for the tefillin, it wouldn't work because you need sirtut to be done lishma. We said that Taisus mashma that you'd be called a hedyot, not that it would be puzzle. That's what was our difficulty. Tosos mashma that it wouldn't be puzzle, just you call the hedyot. Not that it would be puzzle. So therefore, Lemaisa, we said that this discussion in this Gemara seems to imply, like the Sefer Bnei Yod, you need sirtut lishma against the tour, because the tour said the Feirish that a Sefer Torah needs sirtut, but that does not need sirtut lishma. That's what the Shach said against the Sefer Bnei Yonah. So he said that's a bit of a chiddush, Lemaisa. So I want you to get this. We close with this. Mezuzah, you need sirtut lishma. When it comes to Sefer Torah, you don't need sirtut lishma. What's the difference? By mezuzah, sirtut is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's a din in the klaf. That's a din in the we said in the klaf itself, in the ibud. Therefore, that needs lishma. The preparation, the tanning of the klaf, sirtut's all din the klaf need lishma. When it comes to the Sefer Torah, there is no halacha that you need sirtut lishma. It's all to make sure that the svarim, the sofrim, write neatly. And if you don't need it, it's all a practical thing. So there's no requirement that it's got to be done lishma. So that was the chiluk that we made. We saw from this Gemara that you need sirtut, possible sirtut lishma. Our Taisus don't call you a hedget. Number two is, you need sirtut lishma if you do need it only by mezuzah, but not by Sefer Torah. Reason being is because by mezuzah, it's a din in the klaf itself. Therefore, need lishma. Whereas when it comes to what? Comes to Sefer Torah, it's just a right practically need. There would be no such requirement of lishma. Okay, one sec. Please chazer over every night.